Hallelujah, Jesus. We desire your presence, God, your power, your glory, Jesus. Everybody thankful to be in the house of God tonight, to be able to feel his presence once more? I said, is anybody thankful to be in the house of God tonight, to be those who are called according to his purpose? Was anybody blessed by what we experienced on Saturday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night in service with Brother Blash? What an awesome word we heard. And I want to just tell you that what we experienced on Sunday was prophetic. And it was a shift for this church, preparing us for where God is taking us. And I'm very thankful to have men like Brother Blash in my life. Somebody thankful for a preacher in your life, somebody to come in and tell you what the Holy Ghost is saying. At all of the major crossroads in human history, there's always been a man standing in between God and the people to be an intermediary between the presence of God and humanity. And I'm thankful for those men in my life, men who have sown into me and contributed to who and what I am. And I appreciate God and his plan. I love being a part of his plan. I love having a relationship with the Word of God and with the Church of the Living God. Why don't you shake somebody's hand tonight and tell them, I'm glad to be in the house of God with you. Come on, do it to somebody else for just a moment. Tell them, I'm glad to be in the presence of God with you. Shake a couple of people's hand and tell them, it's good to be in the house of God tonight. Yeah. Somebody's ready for the Word of God. I hear it. He's excited. We're going to be reading tonight in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 29. To all of our guests tonight, we're thankful to have you. It's good to have my friend Ricky with me tonight. Ricky, it's good to see you in the house of God, man. And very few weeks go past that I don't think about Ricky. And just glad you're in the house of God tonight, man. I believe God's got a plan for your life. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 29, and you're going to hear me do something I never do. I'm going to read one verse of scripture. Genesis 5 and 29, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. If you're thankful for the Word of God, put your Bibles down and lift up your hands and your heart, and let's just magnify him. God, we love you. We worship you, God. We come before you tonight, Lord, to thank you and to praise you, God, and to esteem your Word. I pray that you would anoint this service, God, that you would anoint the speaker and the hearer tonight, God, that your perfect will would be done, oh God. Come on, give him some praise for his Word. We exalt you, God. We magnify your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. God bless you tonight. You can be seated in the presence of God. I want to tell you from the outset tonight that I am thankful for the Word of God. Anybody thankful for the Word of God? I'm thankful that the Word of God has creative power. Thankful that this book that we open and that we read and we study is not a dead book. It's not just any other book sitting on the bookshelf. I'm thankful that it's not just a historical account of the Jewish people, but that it is alive, that it has power for transformation. I'm thankful tonight to be among a group of people tonight that have been transformed by the Word of God. Thankful for the testimony of God's people. And I'm thankful for the patriarchs who have gone before us and who have handled the Word of God and who have penned the sacred words of Scripture. I'm thankful tonight to be a part of the Word of God and the plan of God, to be an extension of the Word of God in the earth. The Bible says that we are epistles read among men. And so when we are living our life, working our jobs, running our businesses, we don't operate like the world does. We operate with the understanding, with the knowledge that we are an extension of the Word of God. As a matter of fact, if Hebrews 11 could continue on, if the book of Acts could continue on, you would read about the works of Dawson and about the works of Antoine and about the works of Terrell. You would read of the account of the New Testament believers in current day. I'm thankful that we are an extension of the Word of God and that we are an extension of the plan of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." The Word of God is not a dead book. The Word of God has the capacity to penetrate down into where you live, even into places that you cannot know or you cannot perceive yourself, and can show you. James said the Word of God is like a mirror. It has the capacity to reflect back to me the man that I really am. And many of us don't. Who can really know themselves? We don't really know ourselves. But when we have an encounter with the Word of God, we can have an encounter with who and what we really are. And it's only in the presence of God and when we have an encounter with the Word of God that we can see ourselves truly. You ought to thank God today for the Word of God in your life. You ought to thank God to hold the sacred words penned by men of God. These prophecies came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. Thank God for His Word. The Word of God, David said, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It illuminates the way that I travel and the way that I go. David also said, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." We know how to cleanse our way. We know how to walk uprightly. We know how to see the way because we have a relationship and an encounter with the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word of God is forever settled in the heavens. It tells us that heaven and earth are going to pass away, but the Word of God is going to stand forever. If you want something to build your life on, if you want a firm foundation to stand on, if you want something, young couple, to build your marriage upon, or young person, to build your walk with God upon, build it upon the Word of God. It's the only thing that's going to last throughout eternity. It's the only thing that's forever settled in the heavens. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah got to a place in his ministry that he became despondent and he became discouraged, and sometimes dealing with people, it happens this way, that we're preaching and we're handling the Word of God and there's such a disparity that exists between the Word itself and sometimes the practice of people in their lives. Sometimes they have a difficult time implementing the Word of God. And Jeremiah got to a place in his life where he said, "Then I said, I won't make mention of him any longer, nor will I speak more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay." I've come to tell somebody that when you put the Word of God down inside of you, even sometimes when you get discouraged in life, and even sometimes when you become despondent and lose your way, that Word of God has the capacity to rise up, that even when you try to silence it, and it's like fire that's shut up in your bones. I've come to tell somebody, if you want to anticipate and make preparation for your discouragement, you need to go ahead and hide the Word of God in your heart. If you want to make preparation for the day when you might backslide, you better go ahead and put the Word of God in your heart. If you want to anticipate marital problems, let me tell you what you need to do. Sometimes even your heart will condemn you, but the Word of God will rise up in that condemnation and will speak for you sometimes when you won't even speak for yourself. I'm thankful tonight for the Word of God. All of creation emerged from the Word of God. Adam and Eve came forth from this elixir of spirit and word in Genesis chapter 1. And because of Adam and Eve's disobedience in the garden, God placed a curse upon the serpent and a curse upon Adam and a curse upon Eve. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Everybody say, cursed is the ground. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou returnest unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, from dust thou art, or for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. God cursed the ground. Not only would man have to toil, to struggle and sweat to produce crops, For hundreds of years, there was no moisture upon the crops. The descendants of Adam lived in a world where there was no rain. From the best that I can tell, around 1,000 years, approximately 1,000 years between Adam and Noah existed where there was no rain upon the earth. There was seed, but there was no rain. In the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that God caused moisture to come up from the ground to water the trees in the garden. But after they were expelled from the garden, the ground was cursed for their sakes. But there is this isolated passage of scripture that speaks of the birth of Noah and says, Lamech had a son who he named Noah, which means rest, because God is going to give us rest from the curse. On the surface, it seemed that Noah would bring judgment to the earth, and that it would be only judgment that Noah's life would signify. But Noah brought rest to the earth, because for 1,000 years, humanity's struggle was not just to produce a harvest in order to sustain life. Mankind was struggling against nature itself. There was no rain for the harvest, no rain for their crop. But beyond that, the entire earth was without rain. All of creation was out the nutrients, the life-giving nutrients of rain. But with the birth of Noah, the promise came forth, it's going to rain. Now, last night at about 12:30, I was working, and I was walking through the kitchen at the Sutton's house. And I wasn't even thinking much about it. But as I was walking, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, it's going to rain. And I hadn't spent any time on this topic at all. I was actually working a lot this week, and I was putting it to God to tell me what to preach tonight. But I've come to tell somebody what the Holy Ghost told me. There's been a lot of seed sown in your life, and there's been a lot of word that's gone forth, and there have been some dry seasons in your life. But I'm going to tell you what God said. It's about to rain in your life. The rain of the Holy Ghost is about to fall on all of that creative word. And that I've come to tell somebody, the thing that God has spoken concerning your life, he said, I'm about to cause it to rain in your life. And all of those things that have been dormant for a long time are about to spring back up to the surface. God is going to give you rest. God is going to give you peace, because you've been in turmoil, and you've been struggling, and you've been believing, and you've been preaching, and you've been teaching. But God said, I'm about to cause the rain of my spirit to fall on all of your investment. Noah was going to bring rest. For thousands of years, the seed from every plant lay on the ground, dormant and lifeless. When the flood waters rose, it seemed like everything was destroyed. Everything laid under that blanket of water, dormant and lifeless. And it looked like just the judgment of God. But all of the seeds that had never in their existence seen rain, all of the life that had never come under the heavy cloud of rain was sitting there dormant and waiting for the waters to rescind. As an entirely new creation was sitting under the water, waiting to emerge with new life and new purpose. I've used this example before, but I want to revisit it tonight because I think it's apropos. I think it's appropriate for this discussion. We've talked about Death Valley in the southeast corner of California and how it is a barren wasteland of sand and cactus and scorpions and hyenas. Within this desolation of hot and arid conditions sits the Mojave Desert, one of the most inhospitable locations on the planet. From at the very center of this image of hell on earth is what is called, commonly called, Death Valley. On July 10th, 1913, the hottest recorded temperature in the world was taken at Greenland Ranch in the midst of this valley. This barren wasteland lies 282 feet below sea level. It's the lowest elevation in America. Seldom does it rain here, even though it's positioned very near the ocean. A range of mountains block moisture from entering this valley, leaving this several hundred square mile wasteland bereft of normal and healthy life. There are some high places that are blocking moisture from coming into this valley. This desert is the least likely place on the planet to birth, foster, or sustain life. You cannot imagine a more uninviting place. Louisiana State University coined their stadium Death Valley, and they subtitled it, "Where Our Opponents' Dreams Come to Die." It's not a top vacation spot, not a place that will ever be named among the top places to retire. It is barren, not as hot, and it is dry and arid desert. But in 2004, 7 inches of rain fell in Death Valley. The following spring, the valley floor was covered in flowers. This place of death, this place of arid and hot and dry, lifeless condition, was thought to be by many void of anything that could produce dynamic life. What was concluded, however, was that the conditions were just not right for emergence. Millions of seeds lay scattered across the desert floor, dormant, waiting on the rain. The potential for explosive life was present, but it was in latent form and not actual or not realized. There were mountains in the way. The air was too hot. The ground was too low. A large mountain range to the south was blocking much needed rain from coming up from the ocean. And that's why God told the prophet Jeremiah, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." And this is exactly what happened in the day of Noah. From Adam and Eve being expelled from the garden, the seeds, all of the seeds that were blown around this creation laid on the floor dormant. There was no rain. There was no longer this moisture that came up from the ground to water the crop. For over 1,000 years, it had not rained. There was nothing to water these seeds, and there was nothing to bring life to this potential that lay on the floor of creation. They lay upon the ground waiting upon the rain. And the Bible tells us that Noah was born. The one who would bring rest to creation. The one who would bring the plan of God to fruition. Of course, we see it and we think it was the judgment of God, but I've come to tell you it was the reign of God, because out of that judgment would come a new creation. I've come to tell you sometimes your situation looks like it's bad, and sometimes your situation looks like it is without hope. But when the reign of God falls onto the potential that lives within you, God can bring a creation out of a mess. God can bring a new man out of a catastrophe. God can bring a people. Man was created out of the dust of the earth, And when the curse came upon man, God said, I'm going to curse the ground, both the literal ground as well as mankind himself was cursed, because man was dirt. The dirt was cursed and man was cursed. The ground was separated from the water and humanity was separated from the Spirit of God. I've come to tell you the existential problem with creation today is not, it's not psychology. It's not a psychological disorder. I'm telling you the problem with humanity today is its spatial disconnect from the Spirit and the Word of God. I've come to tell you if you've got family problems tonight, the issues in your family are not generational things as much as they are your separation from God. If you need an answer tonight to a problem, I've come to tell you the answer to your dilemma is in the Word and in the Spirit of God. You need the Word to go forth into your lifelessness, into your void of existence, and into your chaos. God can speak life out of death. God can give hope out of lifelessness. God can resurrect a dream. God can bring you into your actualized and ideal state. God wants to do it for you tonight. He wants to reign upon your life. God help us. Let's lift every hand and heart and praise Him right now and talk to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, pray, church. Hallelujah. The ground was cursed. It was separated from the rain. And man, as the earth, as the clay, was separated from the Spirit of God. We understand that water is a metaphor for the moving of the presence of God. Man was expelled from the garden, separating him from the presence of God, leaving him void of the life-giving water of the Spirit of God. The soul of man was cut off from God, leaving him dry and thirsty. The ground of man's existence became parched and barren. The birth of Noah meant rest because it promised rain again. It was bad news for sin, but it was good news for righteousness. Both the literal world and the spiritual existence of humanity would be forever affected. There is always this polarity that exists between rain and drought in Scripture, representing righteousness and sin. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, God said, if I shut up the heavens that there be no rain. He said, if I judge the earth and cut off rain from the earth, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. What he's saying is I'm going to judge. And when I judge, I'm going to cut you off from the thing your soul desires the most. But if in being cut off and in the process of being judged and in the process of reaping and sowing, if you can reorient yourself and look back to God, if you can reorient yourself and draw close to God, he said, draw nigh unto me and I will draw nigh unto you. He said, Cain, if you do well, is it not all going to be well with you? And so I'm telling somebody tonight, what you need to do is if you've got trouble or you've got problems in your life, you need to get back in contact with the Spirit of God. You need to get back in relationship with the Word of God. The Spirit and Word of God have the potential in your life to create life and hope and promise in the middle of a dead situation. The same is true for Elijah and Jezebel and Ahab. Idolatry had caused the people of God to turn away from God, and it's stolen the hearts of the people, and they began to follow other gods. And the prophet Elijah prayed that there would be no rain upon the earth, and for 3 years there was drought. God dealt in righteousness with sin and purged the land. And Elijah withstood the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel, cleansing the land of idolatry. In 1 Kings chapter 18, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like unto a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. The servant said to Elijah, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And the prophet said, you better run, because I hear the sound of abundance of rain. In Joel chapter 2, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. In Joel chapter 2, the prophet is speaking of the day of the Lord. He speaks of everything that is going to happen before God comes back to avenge for sin. But before that happens, it's going to rain upon the earth again. And the latter rain shall be greater than the former rain. This will be the fulfillment of Noah's name, which means rest. The rain caused the earth to finally and fully bring forth, and the rest would do the same for humanity. If you've been through a Bible study here at New Life, you've heard these passages that I'm about to read. Matthew 11 and 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isaiah 28 and 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he says, this is the rest and this is the refreshing. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 15, Peter said, these are not drunk as ye suppose, but this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I've come to tell you that the reign of God for the last days is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And he said the latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain. Every word that's been spoken throughout time, every prophetic utterance, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with all one accord, they were in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. What happened in that moment is the recreative work of God. Every prophetic utterance and every word, every recreated consequence of the plan and word of God standing in that place, when the rain began to fall, when the wind began to blow, the Spirit of God fell on the seed that had already been sown. And what came out of that upper room was a church. What came out of that upper room was a new creation. What came out of that upper room was a new people. I've come to tell you that promise is still available for you tonight. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest. The Holy Ghost is not an old and dead and archaic idea. The Holy Ghost is real for you today. Sunday morning, there were five who went down in the water in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins. And they came up out of the water speaking in other tongues. I've come to tell somebody, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is the recreative work of God. This is the rain and the latter rain and the latter rain and the latter rain will be greater than the former. Does anybody believe that? Does anybody believe that the best days of the church are ahead of us? Somebody praise him for the Holy Ghost. Somebody let that heavenly language spring up inside of you right now. Come on, somebody talk in tongues right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you don't have it where you're sitting right now, God will give it to you. Lindsay, go ahead and come. Come on. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm just going to tell you what the Holy Ghost told me. You've been teaching Bible studies for 29 years. You've been sowing seed. There's seed scattered all over this city. You're walking in a season right now where God said, I'm about to rain on this place.
I'm telling some people, you've been investing for a long time in the kingdom of God. And God said, I'm about to reign all over all of your investment. Come on, there have been prophecies. Listen, this has been the point of contact for the plan of God in the city of Birmingham. The best apostolic preaching that is happening on the globe has happened in this place. Some of the great, listen to me. I'm not just talking about this local ministry. I'm not talking about myself. We'll go ahead and take me and the pastor and the local preachers out of this. The best preachers in Pentecost have preached in this church in the last 29 years. The men God has used prophetically across the globe have stood in this pulpit and they have proclaimed some things. I've come to tell you the things they proclaimed are about to come to pass. I've come to tell you that the seed, it looks like it laid on the ground for a long time. Listen, your 29 years of questioning whether or not it can be ain't nothing compared to 1,000 years of seed laying on the ground dormant. But Noah, God... to give them rest. God, this looks like judgment. Yeah, it looks like judgment, but guess what else it is? It's the rest of God, because that rain's going to fall and that water's going to rise and all the naysayers are going to look at the floodwaters and they're going to say, there's no way anything good is going to come out of this. But I've come to tell you, with God, all things work together for the good to those that love him and who are called according to his purpose. The seed scattered across the valley floor. It looked dead. It looked dormant. It looked lifeless. But all they needed was a little rain. All they needed was God, I've come to tell somebody that when that water rescinded, that seed said, guess what? I found my place. Guess what? I found my purpose. The word of God will not return void, but it's going to go out and come back in. It always goes out and... Give somebody a high five right now and tell them the word of God will not return void. Come on, look at somebody and tell them what God told you he's going to do, he's going to do it. Come on, tell somebody he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or think, according to the power that works in you. Come on, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got the seed of God. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got the power of God to become what he created you to be. No weapon formed against you. That's reason to shout right there. That's reason to rejoice right there. That's reason to dance. Jermaine, I've told them already, but I go back and revisit them. Brother Tenaris, I go back and revisit them. The prophecies, listen, not one is going to fall to the ground. Not one. You hear me? Everything that a prophet has told me about my life, every one of them, I say, God, I go to him in prayer and I say, God, you spoke it and your word will not return void. Your word, God, your creator, the seed, the power of God is able to accomplish what it's... Oh, my God. No oppressive foot of my adversary, no demonic presence, no spirit of fear. For every adversarial pressure, God gives us a provision.
That's right.
He said, I'll give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Everything your adversary wants to throw at you, God has given you provision to resist it. All you got to do is choose. You got to do like Joshua said. He said, choose this day whom you're going to serve. Listen, fear and faith is a choice for you. It's a choice. Will I choose to allow fear to cause that thing to lay on the ground dormant? Or will I believe God? And activate faith and be willing to allow a season of time to come. To allow a season of time to come for actualization. I believe that the plan of God that's already been spoken is just going to come to pass. So what we do is we wait for the word to go forth. And God, when you give the signal, when you tell us it's time to march, I'm putting on my marching clothes. God, not one word, not one prophecy is going to fall to the ground. Whichever one God said, I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to take it up, and I'm going to put it on my shoulder, and I'm going to give it legs. Now let me tell you how this works. I told Brother Jermaine today. I said, you know what the pastor's been doing for the last couple of weeks? It sounds real simple, but he's been checking emails. He's been talking to the banker. He's been filling out paperwork. He's got kind of a gleam in his eye while he does it. You know what I'm saying? How does it look to believe the word of God? Brother Terrell, it looks real simple. It's just putting boots on the ground. It's just continuing to put one foot in front of the other. It's getting up in the morning and praying the prayers. Listen, I know your adversary is going to come against you. Jesus taught this. He taught this in the parable of the sower that went forth to sow. He said the word of God is going to come. It's like seed. And he taught a parable, and the people didn't understand it, and the disciples were confused. And Jesus said, you don't understand what's happening here. He said the sower goes forth to sow, and the seed falls in various places. You see, we determine how the ground receives the seed because we are the ground that receives the word of God. He said sometimes the word of God falls on the ground. And he said, because of the condition of the ground, it's not ready to receive the word. And because the ground is not ready to receive the word, the enemy comes down. And what does he do? He steals the seed away. Listen, there's a future for some people in this church that the adversary has come into your life, and he sees some seed laying on the ground, and he said, you know what? They don't look interested in that. I think I'm going to take that up. And there's some people who have asked the question, I don't even know why I ever came in here and prayed through. I don't really even know why I came in here and shouted and spoke in tongues and danced. What I've come to tell you is the adversary has stolen the promise of God in your life. It's time for somebody to go back to the devil's house and say, the promise that God gave me, I'm coming to get it back. He came into here. He kicked the door off of death, hell, and the grave. And he took the keys to the kingdom, and he gave them to me. So I'm going back in the devil's house, and I'm taking my seed back. I'm taking my potential back. So what have you heard? What has God told you? What has he shown you in vision? What has he visited you in dream? What has he shown you about your life? Where is the seed currently? Where is the seed of that prophecy? Where is the seed of that promise? Is it close to your heart? Do you take it out and do you hold it and say, God, I'm just waiting on the rain. God, I'm just waiting on the Spirit of God to work its work in my life. Where is the promise in your life? What can you see for your future? What do you see? What kind of revival do you see? What kind of ministry do you see? What kind of future do you see coming to this church? I've come to tell somebody, if you'll take it out and you'll hold it out and you'll say, God, you promised me this. There listen to me, there are some people that God, years ago, God gave you a word and God spoke some things into your life and you didn't see it come to pass, and the process of time and chance came and began to push down on your life and maybe cause that thing to become, to lose its luster and to lose its prominence in your thinking. I'm telling you, under the influence of the Holy Ghost tonight, you need to take it back out and you need to shine it up and you need to say, God, I'm not letting that prophecy fall to the ground. I'm not going to allow that thing, God, to sit there dormant in these arid and dry conditions, God. I'm going to take it back out, oh God. You promised this. You said it was going to happen, God. I'm going to be like that widow woman with the unjust judge. I'm going to come back to the house of God and I'm going to keep knocking and I'm going to keep believing, because God, I know your word will never return void. All right, I'm done. Let's come down to the front tonight. I'm telling somebody, it's about to rain in your life. It's about to rain on this church. It's about to rain on this youth group. It's about to rain on the city of Birmingham. I'm telling you, the waters are about to start rising in this city. The question is, what are you going to do with the word that God's given you? What is the rain going to fall on whenever it finds your life? Is it going to fall on unbelief, or is it going to fall on somebody who took a handful of seeds out and said, all right, God, I want you to rain on it. God, I want you to pour out your spirit, God, upon every promise. Come on, let's lift your hands in your heart right now and let's talk to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God. I believe you. I trust you, oh, God. I believe you. I trust you, oh God. I believe you. I trust you, God. I resist the spirit of fear tonight, God. You said what we bind in the earth. Come on, every hand lifted. Talk to him. You said what we bind on the earth would be bound in the heavenlies, God. What we loose in the earth would be loosed in the heavenlies, God. I bind every spirit of fear right now, Lord. I bind every spirit of trepidation, oh God, and hesitancy about your plan and your purpose, God. God, I pray that you would embolden your people, oh God. That you would put your word in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, oh God. Yes, Jesus. Do it, God. Do it, God. gates. Can you see it? See it? Can you see it? Dawson, can you see it? You guys have clarity? You see what it is? I'm not asking you a question that can be answered with a single answer. Because for everybody in this house, it's a little bit different. But it has the same anatomical structure and it has the same impetus, life source. It's the self-same spirit that works all in all, that flows through the body, that brings to life what is dead, that gives purpose and meaning to life. You have to be able to see it. And I'm telling you, there's some people under the sound of my voice tonight, you got this close. And I'm not speaking to the majority of people in this room, but there are some people tonight, you got this close. Close enough just to touch it again. And then you put it down. And you left it on the ground and you walked away from it. Because for you, it may be a little bit too painful to handle and to hold. Sometimes for us, like Abraham and Sarah, it's too painful to go back to the drawing board and do what has to be done to produce what God wants to produce. But I've come to tell you that if you want it, if you want to see God do it, don't let it go. I promise you, I'm a living testimony to the fact that everything God has told me in my life, I'm walking in it. I'm seeing some of it. It's just the beginning of it. But I promise you, if God says it, He's going to do it. I promise you that God will bring it to pass. Don't let the adversary, don't let time tell you it's too late. God said, I can restore the years that the cankerworm and the palmer worm have devoured. I'm done. God bless you tonight. Love and share your strength with somebody around you. Meet someone. If there's some visitors here that you've never met before, tell them your name. Tell them your story. Share your testimony. God bless you tonight. Go with God. Have revival. Have victory. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed.